airlines around the world are grounding their Boeing 777 planes following the engine explosion on a United flight over Colorado on Saturday. Officials are trying to figure out why the plane's right engine blew apart shortly after takeoff from Denver International Airport. Here's sound from the cockpit.
Mayday, mayday, United, 328 heavy, mayday, mayday aircraft.
328 heavy, say again, can you read all that again?
Yeah, United Denver departure, United 328 heavy, mayday aircraft just experienced engine failure, need a turn immediately.
Nobody was injured in that incident. Let's bring in Here and Now transportation analyst Seth Kaplan, who's been following this story. Hi, Seth.
Hi, Peter.
Wow, so the pilot who issued that mayday call did seem pretty calm during what had to be a pretty scary situation. He is trained for that, of course. But what have we learned so far about what happened?
A scary situation indeed. Yeah, an airplane can fly for a time and land on one engine, as this one did. Of course, you lose all margin for error. This is a twin-engine aircraft, as most are nowadays. You only start with two engines. And it's not a foregone conclusion that everybody will be okay. Southwest Airlines passenger died back in 2018 when an engine came apart and a fan blade pierced the fuselage and she was partly sucked out. Things like that have happened. And then, of course, you had those parts flying over to Denver, over to Denver area. Fortunate that nobody was struck by those.
It's a miracle. All right, the NTSB and the FAA are now trying to figure out what went wrong with that engine, and I think they're looking at the fan blade, correct? The fan blade, what are they looking for?
They are, yeah. It seems preliminarily like two fan blades. These are hollow fan blades, which are particular to this kind of engine on the 777. They came off and that, you know, created a chain of events that ultimately the engine had what's called an uncontained failure. That's where, you know, the parts actually scatter like these did. And FAA Administrator Steve Dixon indicated that they might end up recommending, assuming these planes are back in the air at some point, more frequent maintenance. So probably one of the first things you're going to look at is, you know, is there some kind of metal fatigue of some part, or was there a problem, a mistake during maintenance? And although, you know, it's really early to guess, if he's saying more frequent maintenance, that's probably indicating that they're concerned about something with the engine and not something about maybe how it was maintained the last time it was in the shop.
And tell us more about the engine. It's a Pratt & Whitney 4000. Have there been issues with it?
So this was one of three engine options back on these old 777s. This is a 26-year-old airplane. Not uncommon to fly in a plane that's that old. You know, airlines, if they maintain planes, well, can keep them in the air for decades. So each engine manufacturer, you know, GE is another, touts their engine as being the most efficient, the most cost-effective, that sort of thing. Airlines generally believe that all of the engines are equally safe. And this is one that has generally had a good record. Nothing that really jumps out at you kind of looking over the years for an engine that's been in service so long that would make you think this one was inherently more dangerous than one of the other options that an airline like United could have chosen back then.
So as a result, though, several airlines have grounded their 777s, and some countries are banning them from entering their airspace. What kind of impact do you think that's going to have on travel around the world?
Right. So you've got basically the U.S., Japan, and South Korea as the big countries where you had airlines with a substantial number of these. United had more than anybody else, but airlines in those countries too, a few smaller countries, Ukraine, you know, with one of them, according to CH Aviation, which has a database of this sort of thing. The U.K. banned them from entering its airspace. Now, the practical implication of that is almost nothing because, again, those other countries already told their airlines you can't fly these things. What's interesting about that is that, you know, this is sort of the post-MAX crash era, right, where, you know, the FAA lost some credibility around the world. And because it kind of dragged its heels seemingly from the viewpoint of other countries at that time and grounding the plane, waiting several days, countries like Canada and others said, hey, we're not waiting for you. You can't fly those planes here. So in this case, regardless of what the UK had done, there weren't going to be any of these planes in its airspace because the other countries had already taken that measure. Japan did first, but the FAA, within less than a day from Japan's move, did the same thing, and finally South Korea. But kind of interesting that the UK felt the need to basically take it upon itself and say, you know, the plane doesn't come back into this country until we say it can.
Well, and what kind of trouble is this for Boeing? I mean, they just, as you say, started to climb out from under the 737 MAX problem.
Yeah, it's look, the impact of everything right now in terms of on the flying public is ironically in some ways less than it normally would be because so few people are flying, right? So these airplanes are just working less than they usually do. When you have to ground a plane, it's just, you know, especially February tends to be a low an off-peak travel period anyway. And so, you know, the impact on these airlines isn't all that great. The impact on the traveling public isn't all that great. But yeah, it's just another sort of mark on Boeing's record, which although it knows that, you know, in the end, this is also associated with the engine manufacturer. Yeah, something that Boeing also is associated with.
All right. We'll keep an eye on it. Seth Kaplan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter.